Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger, and I'm glad to be able to try to come your way this morning. You've tuned me in by way of WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM over in Lowell area is a 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of WGRM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm proud to say that we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Those of you that tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com, I welcome each of you. Those of you that is listening by my way of my website, I just encourage you to keep doing that. That's a very special thing to me as well. But by now, I think you know how to do it, so I won't mention that this morning. We have some folks that are taking care of the financial part of the broadcasting time, and so I need to say thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the building area. To Gloria Spencer. She does it in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans, Michigan. And then Shiloh Community Church, which is in the community of Shiloh. That's where I pastored for 50 years and still hoping to get back and have some time with the congregation again. But our weekend of worship, as we call it, starts out Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a morning service at 9 o'clock. And then we have a contemporary service, which the music is a little more of the modern music, and that's at 10:45. And we have a campus over in Greenville. That's at the Old Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that service starts at 11. So I give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you want to. At the same time, I wanted to say hi to Kay and thank you to Kay and Kingsinger for all the work that she does in putting my music together. And she's done it for a lot of years, and she's been very faithful in doing it, and I appreciate that so much. As I come to you this morning, this is Mother's Day. Boy, that doesn't seem like we're in the month of May. It's been such a funny year for me so far this year. But moms, all of you moms, we want to wish you a very special day. And I trust that you get to relax and maybe take it a little easier today. And maybe the family do some things for you just to let you know that you're very special. And for Mother's Day, I'm just going to finish up the message on the idea of the gifts of the Spirit, and the last ones that I just think would make a beautiful Christian home. And Mom, I know you'd be appreciated if these things were in your home. That would be something that would be very special to you. You know, I was raised by a single mom, and I just am so glad that God is, that she was a part of my life, and I got so many memories of her that it makes it very special when I think about Mother's Day as well. So why don't we get started? I take a little break and we'll play a song. And this song is one that is kind of like a story song. And I got to be honest with you, I really like the story songs when KN picks them out. And I just am so glad to be able to cheered up.
He's having his sandwich, his chips and baby Ruth, putting them back in the sack his mama packed with a sticker that says Jesus loves you. He's jumping off the bus, running in the house, talking to Mom about his day. Hiding that paper sack in a baseball glove, riding his bike straight to the freeway. Where there's an old man with a shopping cart, dirty face and a purple heart, saying, son, you never know how much this means. Boy says, wouldn't you do this for me if I were reaching out to you? Wouldn't you give me food to eat if I were hungry too? Tonight that little boy's dad is flying down the freeway. It's pouring rain as he leaves the road. He's rolling down that concrete bank through the flames and the broken glass. An old man takes his hand, finds a cell phone on the back seat. He's saying, get here fast as you can. Now the bomb that lives beneath the bridge pulls him safely from that flooding ditch. Man asks, why'd you risk your life to save mine? He said, wouldn't you do this for me if I were reaching out to you? Wouldn't you try to save my life if I needed you to? Wouldn't you do this for me? Laying in that hospital bed, praying a silent prayer. And I can't help but ask him, Lord, did you put that beggar there? As the nurse pulls back the curtains, all they can see is the billboard sign, a 60-foot Jesus hanging on the cross. At the bottom, just one line. Wouldn't you do this for me? Wouldn't you do this for me?
That's a good thought. Wouldn't you do this for me? And of course, I believe a lot of it that we do for others has to go back to our family. And many times it goes back to the mom. And the things that mom has done within the family unit as we was growing up, as a child. And that's pretty special. So what I want to share with you today is, you know, well, there's homes, and then there's what we would call Christian homes. That's where we've acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as who he is, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. And then we take him into our lives. And when our family was growing, each one of the children, as it came along, they took Jesus into their life. And that made it very special. But one of the things I really liked about the gift of the Spirit is that God's reminding us that he wants to make it very special for each one of us. Even more so because we've got the entire story of why Jesus came into this world and why the Holy Spirit is able to take the things that Jesus did and apply them to our individual hearts and lives. And we can become the person that he wants us to become. I think it's good for us to realize that God can see our potential. So before we begin this morning, I want to pray for you, the listening audience, that God would minister to each one of you in a very special way. So dear Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son. I come to you on behalf of the listening audience, that you would be pleased to bless them, to minister to them according to their individual needs. I want to pray especially for Mother's Day today, that a lot of moms will get some visits, maybe even one mom would get a visit from her son she hasn't heard from for a long time. He just kind of wandered away. Dear Father, would you be pleased to bless whatever the needs are in the listening audience, financial, emotional, spiritual, would you help to meet their needs according to your divine will? And then, Father, as we come to you, I want to ask that you would just bless the message, that we will receive it from you, and we take it that you want to do this for each and every one of our individual families. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, folks, this idea of who Jesus is, can I say something on my own behalf? I just like the idea that this has been one of my most difficult times of life for me as an individual, being bothered with this physical condition. And you know, the doctor told me the other day that I was a lot sicker than I realized I was. She said it's going to take a lot longer. And so we realized that we just have to work at it one day at a time. But I got to tell you this from my heart to yours. I wouldn't have wanted to go through this experience without any thought of the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus, and without any thought of all these words that is used about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit will allow to become a part of our individual life. So what I want to do is share with you that I believe the spiritual gift that God's bringing into the family unit this morning is the word faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to ask the resurrected Christ, who comes into our life, to bring with him into the family, each family, as a parent, the idea of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, who for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross. He looked beyond the cross. And he endured the cross. And what he was doing, he despised the shame. And after the cross was all over, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He's telling us he wants us to think about this one, the Lord Jesus. And I like it that he said he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And he endured the cross. And whatever you and I have to endure, either as an individual or as a family unit, we need to know that God's Son, Jesus, is there making intercession on behalf of each and every one of us. I like to think of this idea of faithfulness flowing from God, flowing from the Lord Jesus into each one of our individual lives. Jesus spoke about that when he was here, when he said in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of concerning the Spirit, which had not been sent yet, but was going to come. And that Holy Spirit, when Jesus returned to the heavens, was going to be a part of giving us such a blessing of life. And he's going to be able to bring back to our minds and our hearts the things that God has said that he had promised us through the Lord Jesus. There's a couple of promises of faithfulness that I like about God. It is given in Psalm 92. It is given, give thanks to the Lord, sing praises to your name, O Most High. Declare your loving kindness in the morning, and then declare your faithfulness in the evening. What a beautiful thing to do, folks. Thank God this morning I do for his loving kindness. And then at the same time, thank him tonight for his faithfulness. In the book of Isaiah 25, there's a verse that says, O Lord, my God, I exalt you. I praise your name. You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. See, God said he's faithful, and he wants us to know that. But one of my favorite verses, and I use it often at funerals, is as though the Lord's mercies, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. God's mercies are new every single morning. As I was getting ready to sit down to try to do the radio, I knew that I didn't have a whole lot of energy, but I still wanted to be able to do this message with you. So I'm going to do just a little bit more, and then we'll probably play a song, give my voice just a little bit of a break, and come back again. I was thinking about Mother's Day. What a beautiful home it is when the home becomes Christian. You know, when I marry young couples, I say to them, you know, I realize that many times God is put on the back burner of our life. But as you folks get married, you need to realize just how important it is to have some time for God in your marriage. And then as the Lord blesses you with children, and I trust he will, you need to realize you need to have God in your family in order to make it through the difficulties that there is today. Because it's a whole different world. A whole different world than when I was born into. And if you're in the 80s, that you was born into. And so we think there's things that I believe with all my heart that God adds to the marriage because we add God to the marriage. There's certain things that I believe with all my heart that God adds to the family unit because we add God to the family unit. Faithfulness enlarges our capacity to serve. We can serve God because of his faithfulness to us. And then we realize that activates our faith and can cause us to go forward in a way that is pretty special. I love it in 3 John chapter 1. Beloved, I pray that you might prosper in all things and be healthy, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and they testified to the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy. Now listen to this. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithful whatever you do for the brethren, and you do it for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their manner worthy of walking with God, that's going to be a blessing in their life. So you see, the service to God can come because of God's faithfulness to us. Now, as we're going to let this God and his faithfulness to us, to become a part of our family, that we want to be faithful to one another. And sometimes the family needs to hear that. As the kids have all got grown, we need to be faithful to one another. And we realize that God is saying he wants us to be able to reach out. There was a man that had a lot of money. He wanted to take a trip, and so he took about three of his servants that he had. They weren't really servants. They were like co-workers. And he gave them some money. And he gave one man 5 talents, one man 3 talents, one man 1 talent. And he said, what I'd like to have you do is put this money to work and let it go to work. And then as it goes to work, you can earn whatever you can. And one of these days I'll come back and we'll see how you did. So he gave the money and he took off. He was gone for a long time, and after a while he came back. And he called a meeting of the three guys. He said to the first one, how did you do with what I gave to you? He said, well, I've doubled the talents that you gave to me. He looked at that man and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. He went to the second one and said, how did you do? And the second man said, I gained twice as much as you gave me. He said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. When he came to the third man, he began to make excuses. He said, I know that you're a hard man to work for. And I know that if I would have lost this, I would have been in trouble. So he says, what I did is I dug a hole and I buried it. And here's the talent you gave me. And he looked at him and he said, what kind of a servant are you? You could have at least put it in the bank and we had some interest off of it. You know what? He never did hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I don't want to be like the third person. We want to be busy doing the things the Lord wants us. I want my family to be busy doing the things that the Lord would want from their individual lives. So with this thought in mind, I think I just need to take a little break, and we'll listen to a song, and then I'll come back in just a few minutes, okay? So the song I want us to listen to, it is called Love, Love, Love. God's got so much love for each one of our lives that he wants us to be able to work from that love that he gives to us. I'll be right back in a few minutes.
The parking lot was full that Easter morning. Suits and ties and bonnets, Sunday finest filled the pews. Pastor Rick was known for his long sermons, but we knew that he would give us something we could hold on to. He walked up to the pulpit and we sat up in our seats. He slowly looked around and made us wait to hear him speak. Then he said, love, love, love. Then he sat back down. It wasn't much, but man, it was enough. 'Cause the one thing we all could use more of is love, love, love. on the front row didn't like it. One of them said, whatever we pay him is too much. Mr. Johnson said, we got dressed up for nothing, but at least we'll beat the Baptist to the Shoney's Sunday brunch. But as for me, I got more from those three little words than from all the other sermons that I'd ever heard. When he said, love, 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 then he sat back down. It wasn't much, but man, it was enough. 'Cause the one thing we all could use more of is love, love, love. It wasn't much, but man, it was enough. 'Cause the one thing we all could use more of is love, love, love.
Well, that sure is true, isn't it? Love, love, love. Pretty short sermon for Easter Sunday morning, but pretty special too. And this is the love that God has for us. And mamas, I want to tell you today, that's the love that God has for you. He's got love, love, love. And you know, no matter whether your children appreciate you, no matter what it is, you need to realize God's got love, love, love. And one of the things that I think that God has that comes with the Lord Jesus this morning into our family unit is a gift of gentleness. Isn't that a nice word? Gentleness. I was thinking as I thought about that word, and I did it like that song did the word love. Gentleness, gentleness, gentleness. I was thinking, you know, our world needs so much gentleness. We're really living in a very hostile world. You know, I think gentleness comes when our heart is made softer. Sometimes we got hard hearts, say things we should never say, respond the way we should never respond. And I'm thinking of a mama who, as she continues on, maybe gets the privilege to be a grandma, maybe gets the privilege to be a great grandma. You know what my wife has been doing? We had a baby, a great-grandbaby born to us. He's now about 3 months old. And my grandson that he was born to, he's very technical. So he has a camera that he has right over the baby's crib. And then he has this program where that camera, you told my wife, his grandma, so the grandmas and the great-grandmas can see on their internet, they can see that little baby at any time they want to see him. I was kind of smiling at my wife the other day because she said to me, they must have went somewhere because the baby hasn't been in the crib all morning. Next time they do that, I'm going to have them, they got to put a note on there, we're going away for a while. Well, you know, gentleness. Gentleness is, she gets a lot of good feelings of gentleness just as she watches the little thing grow. And you know, I think that's what God is reminding us. The gentleness of a grandma, a great-grandma. When the Lord Jesus invades our life with that resurrecting power and the spirit of gentleness, I love it that both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there's two different times when it's spoken of as God being a shepherd. I really love the way it is said in Isaiah 40. They had shepherds, but the shepherds weren't taking care of the people of Jewish families. So God said, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And now listen to this. And he will gently lead those that are with young. He will be tender to his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms. And we read about that he is going to take such good care of them with gentleness. That's what God wanted to do for the nation of Israel, for the families that made up the nation of Israel. He wanted to give them some gentle leadership in their life. And that's what he promised to provide. Fast forward to the Lord Jesus. And he's been doing some ministry now for a while. Been healing a lot of people and showing God's gentleness and kindness. Causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. And then Jesus, one day in the book of John, chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down, the gentleness of the Father and the Son. Is recorded for us there to tell us that they come into your life and my life with that gentleness. And in this hostile world, we need that gentleness to help us journey on our way and to do the things that we're going to do. And I think that's going to be something that's very special. Well, you know, as the children grow, then we realize that there's many different things that you do as a parent. Have you ever heard this thought before? Once a parent, always a parent. And you know, you get concerned and care for the needs of your grandchildren. They're on my prayer list the first thing in the morning. And you know, I got 17 grandchildren. And now we got 9, 10 great-grandchildren. And I pray for each and every one of them. That God would keep his hand upon them. He would keep them safe. And that he'd watch over them. I also like to pray that he'd keep them close to him. As he cared for them. There's a grown man one day in the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. He just had a beautiful blessing where the children of Israel had decided that God was God and they were going to serve him and not the idols that they had been serving. But the queen had said she's going to have him dead by morning. So he went hiding and he carried himself into a cave and God met him in the cave. And God asked him the question of why he was there. And he said, I'm here because I'm the only one left for you, and the queen is trying to kill me now. So God told him to go stand in the entranceway of the cave. And then it said, as he stood in the entrance way of the cave, and behold, the Lord passed by. And there was a great and strong wind that even tore some of the stones out of the mountain, broke in pieces, and fell on the ground. But it says the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a big fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after all that noisy stuff had passed by, then it says there was a still whisper. And God spoke to Elijah. Just a whisper. There's a challenge that says, be still and know that I am the Lord God. God wasn't in all that noisy stuff. But God wants us to be quiet enough before him that we can even hear him whisper. And you know what I think he whispers to us? Mama, I think he whispers this to you. Gentleness. 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 We need to be a gentler nation. We need to be a gentler people. And I believe it'll begin with the family unit. Well, I don't hope you don't mind, but I'm going to play another little song. I can find my voice getting weaker, and I want to finish with some strength. So this here song is, you're going to miss this. You know, when the kids are growing up, you're going to miss this. I don't know if I shared it on my Facebook or on my radio. Some of the great-grandkids were there. We got two boys and a little girl. They were at the house. And they had put some handprints on the front door, the big glass in the front door. And I said to my wife, please don't wash those handprints off for a while. Let's leave them beyond there because it's been a long time since we've had handprints on the door. And you know, it's going to be true. There's so many things we're going to miss. I just think I took a lot for granted, and I think we all do. But we need to realize we're going to miss this. These things that's been a part of our life, and we're going to miss them because we need to know that he's got something special for us. So you're going to miss this. So let's listen to the song and think about how good God has been to each one of us.
She was staring out the window of that SUV, complaining, saying, I can't wait to turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. Then she kissed her hand and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in a one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. Tells her it's a nice place. She says, it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days. Take a good look around. You may not gonna miss this. Of my own, one's 36, one's 23. It's hard to believe
you're gonna miss this, you're gonna want this back, you're gonna wish these days
hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around.
You're gonna miss this. Isn't that the truth? We're gonna miss the child-raising time. We're gonna miss all the things that went with all of that. And that's pretty special. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's life. But at the same time, we need to realize we got the memories of those times. And the memories of gentleness in the home is a valuable memory. There's one more, and this is the idea that when this Lord Jesus comes into the family unit, when we ask him to be our Savior, and he brings with him the spirit of self-control. The spirit of self-control. Self-control is a interesting thing to think about when you think about being invaded in your life with self-control. I love this thought I came across. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to empower a person so that he can voluntarily abstain from some selfish ambition. He doesn't have to do all the selfish ambitions that might hinder him from fulfilling a divine appointment task. When I think of how Jesus spoke of his task, that he came to do the will of the Father. Excuse me. He says that in John 6. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but do the will of my Father who sent me. And this is the will of my Father who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that he has given me, but rise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. His faithfulness, that he wants to bring all of those who trust in him to eternity for heaven. But what a beautiful home it makes for Mama when Christ is in the family. And besides that, there's a fruit of self-control that can keep each one of them from the family, of turning away from just doing what they want to do for just themselves. Just to thinking of themselves, to think of others. And you know the Lord Jesus did that, because that's what he did, is he emptied himself, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians. He laid aside all the joy that he had with the Father And as you begin to become a servant down here on planet Earth. And God wants that mind that was in his son Jesus to be that mind that is in each and every one of us. As we are Christian people wanting to find ways to reach out to somebody else. And you know, that's so important to do. It honors the moms. It honors the family. It honors God. And when people are doing those kinds of things, when they have the desire just to help, we've had so much help during this time of sickness of mine that it just has overwhelmed me that people are so kind and so considerate, bringing us my food and picking us up different things that we need. And, you know, I think that's so precious. Getting telephone calls, getting cards sent through the mail that you can look at and think of the person that sent the card and they took the time to get the card and so on. You know what, folks? That's so needed in our society today. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the receiving end. I'm saying that because that's kind of the way that I feel it was supposed to be when I was doing the pastoral work. I thought my main thing in my life is to be a people person and to do whatever I can to help any person I can with the things they're going through in their own individual life. And so I wanted to try to do that and kind of accomplish that purpose. And, you know, I appreciate so much that that was just a good way for me to minister. And I can remember one time when I had some things lined up that I was going to do on a couple of different days of the week. And then I heard about a lady who was having surgery one of the days, and then they needed me for a funeral one of the other days. And I remember saying to my wife, I'm not going to put things down. I'm going to let God set my agenda. I'm not going to put things down. At that time, I used a calendar. It's the old calendar type thing. I'm not going to write anything in ink. I'm going to write it in pencil, so that I can erase it, put something else in. We'll still do the things we want to do, but we'll do it according to the timing that God gives us. So that's what we did. And we had a beautiful life together. And she enjoyed it as well. We said, now we get to do this. And you know, sometimes there was just some special things making a hospital visit. Sometimes it was a funeral. But you know, as I studied for this message, and I studied for my Facebook, all of a sudden that word, self-control, hit at me. Because my doctor was telling me, and the workers that I have coming in for therapy were telling me, your number one thing today now has to be you. And I remember saying, I just don't want to think of just of me. I've been doing this for 60 years, but I think of other people. And now I want to be able to think of other people. Right now, I've been going through some emotional things because there's been at least 5 or 6 deaths that I know I would have had the funerals and I would have been able to minister to those folks. And some of them, I know them so long, and I realized today because of COVID that if I was feeling good, they wouldn't let me in the hospital visit somebody that's in the hospital. But at the same time, when that's been a part of your life for 60 years, it's hard to come across that point where you're thinking, I can't do nothing about this. Anyway, that's my personal thing that I'm dealing with. And you know what I did? So many times when I visited somebody going through something difficult in the hospital, I came across a verse in Jeremiah 31:3. It says, "The Lord appeared to me," Jeremiah said, "in a faraway place." And when I read that faraway place, I say, you know what, you're in a faraway place. And let's see what the Lord had to say in a faraway place. "I'll love you with an everlasting love, and I will continue to show you my kindness." That's what God said he would do. And I believe he will do that. But you know what? I was just wanting to close the service with you be praying for me the next few days, that I will realize that I'm in a faraway place and I need to do the best I can do to get myself stronger to be able to do even more. I feel a little stronger this morning than I did last week. But we need to make some progress because it doesn't last very long. Well, time for me to go, so I better sign off and get another song to close with. And this song is a kind of a special song to "Where There Is Love," and it starts right out singing. "When at home there is love, and we need the love that is in the home." God bless you. Thank you.
Our voices.